Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined as always by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going down?
Ahoy, hoy, Christopher. We are, for the very first time, I think, in our history, recording this show on a Sunday afternoon at around about 5 o'clock, and what I usually like to do around about this time is help my partner cook an award-winning roast. Now, she's very good at cooking a roast. It's always chicken, and we always have delicious spuds with it, roasties, and a bit of veg on the side, and I've absolutely mistimed the cooking of it this time, and I'm just basically chowing through an entire roast dinner while broadcasting the Abroad in Japan podcast. So in many ways, you all get to enjoy a delicious roast dinner.
Oh, it's like a piece of Pete Donaldson's roast dinner, char-grilled, burned to pieces, as part of you, dear listener. It's good, though. It looks good.
It does look
all
right.
I'm kind of envious.
It does look all right. I've also turned on the heat in my cabin, and I went away for a day, and I've come back, and I left the heating on, and it's really hot in here. So
God.
I'm eating a big roast in a hot box, and I had a pint of beer earlier on. I had 2 pints of beer, in fact, and I didn't feel very well
now
after them. I've not been drinking 5 pints of beer. I've not drank for like a couple of weeks, and I feel like you know when people just bang into heroin and they go. And then they manage to sort of really hurt themselves because they think that they can handle a certain amount of heroin, but they can't. I feel like I've just had too much. Just one beer absolutely hit me like a ton of bricks. I was like, I'm going home. It's rubbish. Rubbish this.
Well, while you're having your roast dinner and beer in your hot sauna cabin, do you know what I've got for my dinner?
What have you got for your dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, that
you've got so many bags of popcorn. Why did you buy so many bags of popcorn, you weirdo?
I'm staying in a hotel and they just give out popcorn, so I've got popcorn for dinner.
Yeah,
good for you,
right,
though. Popcorn
is it?
Yeah, when I. Is it, it
one of the,
is.
It's one of the better crappy snacks, but it's still a crappy snack.
It is a great source of fibre, and I will not have you slagging off popcorn. It's so good. Like, I was talking to Nicholas Pettas, the dude, the kickboxing karate champion, master of Japan, bestest fighter ever, and he was like, eat popcorn, it's good for you. So I'm doing that, I'm following his word to the letter. Just as I did in the fight when I completely ignored him while he was shouting at me in the ring for 20 minutes.
Eat popcorn.
And I wasn't listening to him at all. What a muppet.
No, right.
You know, when I was in that fight, I was talking to someone about the fight, the chess boxing match the other day, and I realised during the fight, your trainer obviously can shout advice, and Nick was shouting throughout.
Hit him! Do
a
chess!
Hit him again! Hit him some more! I don't know what he said. I wasn't listening.
Punch the queen! Punch the king!
Or who I was listening to. Do you know, you're not allowed to give any chess advice, unsurprisingly, during chess boxing.
I guess it gets
instant
a little bit, who wants to be a millionaire, isn't it? Yeah,
exactly. But during the fight, I was listening to my competitor's, his like instructor, his trainer,
the
guy I was fighting, PJ. I was listening to his instructor to sort of preemptively hear what was coming my way.
He was
like,
right
hook, right hook now. I was like, right, I know what's coming. A right hook. So I don't know if that's wrong. I'm new to the world of boxing.
Yeah.
I've had like 3 months training, but like that was how I played it out.
Is that why they instantly sort of box your ear so you can't hear anyone's trainers? Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. I mean, I guess if you're shouting something really specific, you're going to be in a situation where the other fighter can see, hear what you're saying. So what are they playing out there exactly?
Ridiculous. And what I will say as well is during the chess, you have to wear headphones.
Yeah.
And I was wearing earbuds to block the noise and headphones on top of that.
Yeah.
And they did fuck all, really. They were blasting out like Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Right.
I was really distracting trying to listen to Beethoven playing chess in front of 300,000 people.
Yeah.
But also just the sound of everyone, which you could hear anyway. Everyone was screaming and shouting and you could hear them. The headphones did nothing.
Yeah.
Because I could hear when something bad was going to happen or when, you know, I put a foot wrong on the chessboard, I could hear,
right.
And I was like, oh shit, I shouldn't have done that.
But I just sort of look at that and I sort of go, well, I would think that if you're playing chess, like why would you need headphones? Like, I never asked you this before. Like, why would you? Is it just to block out the sound? Because surely you could still hear the sound of that many people in an auditorium screaming their lungs out.
Well, I mean, you can hear like screams and shouts, and I can hear the commentators saying a few things. They have to be careful what they say, but they can only like commentate after you've made the move.
Yeah,
but I think if I wasn't wearing headphones, I might be able to hear someone in the crowd going, queen to h3, and I'll be like, oh yeah, queen to h3. So I don't know, it's one of those things.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'll have to do that again, probably not, but anyone listening who wants to get into the world of chess boxing, I've given you some invaluable advice there.
Yeah, I guess people would. I mean, because you can control the trainers and control the teams and stuff, and you can kind of levy punishments there and then, but obviously you can't stop me in the crowd shouting, fucking get the horsey, move the horsey,
get
C3.
The horsey.
Get the horsey, move it to C3.
Flip the board.
Flip the
board over.
Flip it.
Actually, I forgot, actually. The guy I was fighting, Overflow PJ, he said before the fight that in the event he would lose, he was going to flip the board over. And he didn't do that. And that's a terrible shame.
Aww.
But then I didn't checkmate him. So maybe he was under the assumption that if I were checkmating him, then he would do it.
He would do it. Okay. So he promised you he was going to flip in anger, and he was just going to start wailing on you. He's going to
in anger,
scream,
and drama,
wet himself. Right. Okay. Nice. Okay.
But there you go. He got knocked out in a fight 2 weeks before I fought him, right?
Great.
I think it's a guy called FaZe Temple.
Is that allowed? Like, what? Knocked out as in, like, to bits? Like, you know, on the floor?
Oh, in boxing. They had a boxing match.
Whoa.
And he got hit in the face.
Are you allowed to box
PJ
that soon after? Have you been knocked out? The old concussion protocols at et al?
No, you're not. But chess boxing is governed by different rules.
Oh, that's cheeky, so, isn't it? That is cheeky.
It is a bit cheeky.
So you're playing an absolute drunkard.
Well, he got knocked out by this FaZe Temper guy. And FaZe Temper himself got knocked out yesterday by KSI. So right. The circle is complete.
Nice. Okay.
So I don't really watch KSI? Boxing, but I
sort of. Yeah.
That's how it works.
Okay. Fine.
Exactly. And we just draw a line under it right there.
True.
Into the comment of the week, or the story of the week, from Louise from Manchester. Hello, chess champion Chris and podcast pro Pete. Being a huge fan of the podcast and Chris's YouTube channel, I know about Japanese gratitude and gift giving, but I never thought I would experience it myself, especially outside of Japan. In November, I was in New York with my sister. It was the first time either of us had been to the city, so we were doing all the touristy things, including seeing the Statue of Liberty on a ferry tour. When we got to Lady Liberty, there was an older Japanese lady with her daughter trying to take a selfie with the statue. Being a nice northerner, I offered to take their picture for them. I snapped a few photos, gave the daughter her phone back, and promptly forgot all about it. About 10 minutes before the end of the tour, as the boat was heading back to dock, the daughter approached me and said, "Thank you so much for helping me make a lovely memory of me and my mother. Please take these." And she gave me a pack of Meiji Hello Panda biscuits.
Aww.
I've never experienced such a small random act of kindness before. And after a less than smooth holiday, it genuinely made my year.
Mm.
Louise from Manchester with a mouthful of Meiji Hello Panda biscuits, which I've never eaten, but I'm sure are thoroughly delicious.
They look a little bit like animal biscuits, I think. You know, there are those Cadbury's ones, maybe. Or maybe like a tiny Farley's Rusk or something. I don't really know. But I would say that if these are two Japanese people and they're on holiday and they're in New York and they're on a ferry or whatever, have they brought those like biscuits with them? Or have they
gone
to
a point.
Or have they gone to a special supermarket to buy them? I don't like it. It just seems like someone has gone all the way around the world, and then it's like us going to, I don't know, China, and then, you know, bringing some custard
creams. Monster Munch.
Yeah. I mean, that would be sensible, because Monster Munch are delicious. But, those biscuits are pretty pedestrian, aren't they?
I mean, I think they must have taken them with them.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you get Meiji chocolate biscuits easily in New York. So.
I've seen them in... it's pretty much every kind of Chinese or Asian supermarket has them. Because they're really easy to be transported around the world.
What I'm annoyed about is I've taken literally 1,000 photos for everyone in Japan over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Where's my Meiji chocolate? Why do I get nothing?
Why do you get nothing? You know, that's a good point, actually. It's a good point.
No good deed should go unrewarded.
No.
That's all I'm saying. Get me my Meiji chocolate. But anyway, Meiji chocolate aside, what's going down in Japan this week? Why is Gwen Stefani in the news? All over my Twitter.
All over your Twitter.
Oh, God. This will be a fun one, because there's just so many just ridiculous comments about this. Gwen Stefani. Thinks she's Japanese.
Yeah.
But also, it got blown up and made into a big deal, even though... it's just Gwen Stefani being a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Over to you, Pete. Lead the charge.
I mean, she is very much... I would say she is on the back foot after her use of the Harajuku girls back in the day. Do you remember she had those two lasses who were kicking around dressed as Harajuku girls, and she would sort of call them out in her shows and in her music and stuff. So she's been criticised before for, adopting the persona of someone who isn't a white American woman. And she, instead of keeping her head down, staying out of the conversation, she's gone in with two feet, Chris. She really has. She's faced widespread backlash after claiming, "I'm Japanese." In an interview with Allure magazine released on Tuesday, Stefani, who is of Irish and Italian descent, when promoting a beauty brand, she said, "My God, I'm Japanese and I didn't know it." She described the influence Japanese culture had on her childhood when her father, who is Italian-American, worked for Yamaha and travelled between California and Japan. "That was my Japanese influence, and that was a culture that was so rich with tradition, yet so futuristic, with so much attention, art and detail and discipline, and it was fascinating to me," she told the Allure editor, who is Filipino-American. Which, I mean, it's the sort of thing, you know, white people feel comfortable saying in front of other white people. I mean, it's astonishing that she felt comfortable saying that in front of someone who's clearly of Asian descent. Stefani described her father's stories of Japanese street performers cosplaying as Elvis Presley and women with colourful hair, and said that when she grew older, she travelled to Harajuku, known for eclectic clothing stores and cosplay shops, and she basically, which served as the inspiration for her fragrance line, Harajuku Lovers. She said, "My God, I'm Japanese and I didn't know it." And then...
I don't know, it's all a bit of a non... It's all a bit...
overblown. I did a tweet saying something to the effect of, oh, Gwen Stefani's been to Harajuku six times and calls herself Japanese.
Yeah.
My problem with Gwen Stefani is every time she talks about Japan, it's just Harajuku. And that just fucking annoys me. The most...
It's like me and
crappy,
in the Love Hotel district of Shibuya.
Gentrified shit. No, no, no. Harajuku's the shopping district, right? And it's just this gentrified, crappy, boring area. You've been there, right?
Yeah.
You've been to Harajuku.
Just a lot of...
You a Harajuku girl?
Waffles. Just a lot of waffles and people.
It is, yeah. In fact, ironically, Harajuku's the least Japanese bit of Tokyo. It's very much American-influenced.
Yeah.
And anyway. But I, you know, lots of people waddling in all sides, and it's just not really... an interesting story. I kind of regret doing my tweet about it because some people were sort of being defensive and sort of saying that no one in Japan cares. I mean, most Japanese people don't give a toss what Gwen Stefani thinks. If anything, from videos I've seen, I think most Japanese people are happy that she's that she likes Japan so much. Japanese people love it when a Western person praises any aspect of their culture and whatnot. But I don't know, really.
Yeah.
I just find it all a bit overblown and ridiculous. I just find her music a bit annoying. Honestly, I think the song, what is it, Hollaback Girl, that song is one of five songs that makes me want to hack my fucking ears off with a bone saw. And that's all you need to know about Gwen Stefani. Yeah. Although a friend of mine installed her sound system, and he said she was very nice.
I'm sure she
is. Put her speakers in her house.
She's still with...
He said she was nice.
She's still with Gavin Rosdale from Bush. Or is that a distant, is that a deep and distant past situation?
Did you ever interview Gwen Stefani? Did she
never interviewed Gwen Stefani, never interviewed her ex-partner or partner, Gavin Rosdale. No, not really, no. What didn't really sort of come up, really. Though I used to be very fond of the early No Doubt tracks and... I don't think you can really... you can't go far wrong with Don't Speak. That's an absolute banger and a half, isn't it?
We forgive Gwen Stefani
for her silliness. Yeah, I mean, I would say that Japan is quite unique in that they really usually don't give a shit about this kind of caper. So you have to really go some. You really have to go some to get people's backs up. So well done, her.
And honestly,
we're all fucking little weebos. I'm a little weebo. I feel the same. I don't feel like I'm... I would never go on a microphone and say I'm Japanese. But you know, I'm a little nerd. I like Japan. It's good, isn't it?
I wasn't really there in the room during the interview. I don't know how she said it. If she's like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm Japanese. That's a very different thing from being like, I am Japanese.
Yeah.
Which is just a stupid comment that makes no sense.
Yeah.
And yeah, don't do that.
Don't do that.
But I think you know, I can understand why some Asian Americans would be sort of angered by that.
Damn right.
Given all the cultural aspects. But I don't know, bit of a ridiculous story. And I'm sure Gwen Stefani's probably like, fucking hell. How did me saying that stupid sentence?
I can't believe this has happened
again. You know, the only time I think I can recall a cultural appropriation scenario that justifiably or that actually riled up Japanese people in particular was the Kim Kardashian use of using the word kimono for those tights or whatever. Because that was taking an aspect of Japanese culture, aka the kimono, popular celebrated item of clothing worn at special events throughout the year, treasured cultural historic clothing, and then just branding it as like some shit underwear in the US. And in time, with, you know, in time 10 years down the road, if she had actually done them and sold them, then millions of people in America growing up might think kimono equals Kim Kardashian's clothing brand as opposed to a wonderful aspect of Japanese culture. And that's the situation where I find cultural appropriation really just shit and annoying, and and there was a backlash in Japan over that.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've never seen any Japanese people angry of anyone doing something like this. And the whole Harajuku girls thing, while a little bit weird and creepy and odd, and I think it's very strange, but I guess she just has a deep appreciation for Japan and it manifests itself in that way. Although she probably also worked out it equals money by pandering to that.
Yeah.
I've always found the Harajuku girl thing a bit weird.
Yeah.
But Japanese people love that, and they like that Gwen Stefani comes over and sings some crap songs and has some Japanese dancers. So
I'd like to see a sort of like just like rotate, you know what I mean? Like sometimes they're Harajuku girls, sometimes they're Gurkhas, sometimes they're a man from Romania, sometimes they're a Frenchman. Like just rotate, you know, just sort of go, and I feel Nepalese, I feel German. Yeah, just rotate a bit, yeah?
Harajuku girls and
an old Romanian man.
Fucking hell. I don't know. There you go. That's our thoughts on that.
All right. Cool.
Nothing good, nothing bad.
I
did see some friends sort of talk about Gwen Stefani. I'd have been bullying them all week. I won't name names, but I've been sending them Gwen Stefani songs. I forgot Gwen Stefani's even a thing. She hasn't made a song in a long time.
She's been quiet, hasn't she?
Get back to that.
Yeah.
Go on, Gwen. Get back to some songs.
Yes, please.
But just don't use those bloody Harajuku girls. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dolson?
We got a message from Jonathan from Calgary, Canada. Hello, Potato Pete and Chip Chris. Here in Canada, the government has recently started a ban on single-use plastics like straws, shopping bags, etc. Does Japan have any kind of ban on single-use plastics yet? And have they adopted those shitty paper straws yet? I was in the cinema last night and I was watching a film. That's what you do in a cinema, isn't it? And I had a milkshake. I was watching a film. Oh, lady used to be in Peep Show. Then she played the Queen, I think.
Olivia Colman.
Olivia Colman. Olivia Colman's recent one where she's, I think it's in Margate or something, where she works in a cinema. Yeah, it was all right. It's fine. It's fine.
You haven't sold me it's on that fine. Film. I know it's directed by Sam Mendes of right, 1917 yeah. and Skyfall yeah. fame.
It's fine.
But you sold it as Olivia Colman in a cinema.
Olivia
in
Colman in a cinema. I'm in a cinema watching Olivia Colman in a cinema.
Is it 1 to 10?
Palindromic. I'll give it a 7.
There. I watched a film called Triangle of Sadness, and that was exceptional. Really good film. Go and check it out. What was the name of the director? Oh, I can't remember.
Sam Mendes.
Damn. Swedish, awesome Swedish director. Just Sam Mendes, isn't it? Go watch that. Triangle of Sadness. What was the question? Plastic straws. I mean, it's good to get rid of plastic, but I hate paper straws. Mm. Literally just yesterday, I went to a Costa Coffee. I bought some sort of smoothie drink, innocent smoothie, came with a paper straw, and I thrust it into the little seal to, you know, pierce through and get the sweet juice through within, and then the straw just sort of imploded into a mess, and I couldn't open my fucking drink that I was desperate to have because this goddamn paper straw. So if you're going to have paper straws, make them good. They are taking over in Japan, though. They are. They've really recently started popping up in the last few months, and also where like 7-Eleven, Lawson, Family Mart would have their coffee with a straw. Now they've just got rid of like straws altogether for iced coffee, and you just sip it out of the cup without a straw at all, which I would suggest is the best solution of all. But yeah, there you go. One way, that's the don't let that get in the way of your trip to Japan though, Jonathan. No. Don't worry about it. Yeah, don't worry about it. There'll be a way to drink.
Bring your own straw.
Hi, Chris and Pete. Greetings from the West Country. Which is where I am now. I'm interested to hear about the various subcultures that are so very different from the normal Japanese way of life, such as Visual Kei, Itasha, and Gyaru. How are these subcultures viewed by the general Japanese public, and how common are they to see in public at all? Many thanks. All the best, Simon. That's a good question, actually. We've never really touched on this. What do you know about Visual Kei and Gyaru and all that sort of stuff?
And like Visual Kei are just like kind of like hair, big hair bands. Like they're just a lot, like they're musical bands, but they're very, very big hairy. Big hairy bands.
I would say that's a pretty accurate description. Visual Kei, it's kind of like they cosplay and put a lot of effort into their appearance. And you remember Hyde, the rock star bloke I interviewed?
Yes.
He was very much a pioneer of it, or part of it in the 90s. But when I interviewed him, they wanted me to... They didn't have many requests during the whole thing, but one thing they did say was, let's not talk about Visual Kei too much. Because he kind of feels, I think he's embarrassed by it. He doesn't want Visual Kei to overshadow the music, which of course it does a lot of the time. People think of the fashion and the glamour rather than the music itself, and he didn't like that. The whole Gyaru culture is a bit
Gyaru is a bit like you'd probably sort of say like British kind of sort of not bimbo, but like kind of quite you're like very tanned, tanned, like big hair, tanned kind of like lasses at the races kind of vibe, you know what I mean? Very, very tan girls, like very. I mean, astonishing.
Only
to
wears
look at.
Essex.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like with a bit of a kind of turn of the millennium, turn of the millennium kind of emo vibe to it as well. It's fascinating. You know, yeah, very strange.
I'm all for freedom of expression and appearance, but just looks objectively
shit. Why choose
that
one? Why choose them?
the girls that do it, they sort of cake their face in sort of orange makeup, put on eccentric, crazy eye. Like, go and look at it. Type in Gyaru, Gyaru, and you'll see it's not a flattering look, and it's not. It's sort of looked down upon. There's no doubt about that.
Okay.
Like it's looked down upon within Japan. Visual Kei is sort of it's quite rare to see it. All of these things I feel were sort of really big in the 90s, but sort of died off. And you really don't see Visual K that much, to be honest.
Right.
Which is, I think, is kind of cool. I respect the effort that goes into it. But cosplaying's still a big thing.
Yeah, all of these, I mean, I would say all of these. The problem with like stars like this is it's not something I can ever adopt because my hair is so very thin. I can't give my hair much volume, so I just look like a bit of a weirdo.
I think the Colonel Sanders thing works better for you than you think, Pete.
Yeah, all right,
the
fine.
Maybe
I could be like a tanned sort of Gyaru Colonel Sanders vibe. I think I'd look amazing.
It's a sort of Sea Dog VA video waiting in the wings, isn't it? I became a Gyaru.
Yeah, exactly.
You'd love that.
Yeah.
From the man that brought us pole dancing comes a sequel. One last question here from Simon, who says, "Hi, Chris and Pete. Simon from the magical land of Southend here. Pete Dawson.
Oh, that's where I am.
I'm going on a road trip around Japan next year, and I've been wondering, Japanese people are known stereotypically for being placid, but is road rage a thing? Do people drive very calmly there, or should I expect occasional tailgating? Thank you, guys. Simon." What does Simon get if he runs into you in Southend, Pete? Given you live there too.
I do stay away from people, but I do occasionally drive quite fast into people. I always have tarmac and wheel, but I do drive too fast.
Bloody hell. I've only been in the car with you once when you were driving, and I thought it was... It was interesting.
Passable.
I was glad.
Certainly a very messy car.
Yeah, it was appalling.
It looked
like
appalling.
Like a monkey had been let loose in there and ravaged the fucking interior. I think road rage in Japan is a thing, particularly in places like Chiba and Saitama. Mm. For some reason, I think Chiba's like one of the worst places in Japan for it. And there was a lot of cases last year of road rage there, weirdly. But for the most part, I think Japanese drivers are good and better than British drivers, or certainly slower. I don't know if they're better, but they're slower. Mm. The only thing you've got to watch out for is elderly drivers, which make up a healthy, well, not necessarily healthy chunk, but a large proportion of the Japanese population are elderly. And I've nearly died at least 6 to 7 times at the hands of an elderly driver who just was not looking what they were doing. So be wary of that. Mm. But other than that, it'll be good. And it's a fantastic country to drive around Japan. I absolutely love driving around it.
Mm.
And that's my thoughts on that. You've never driven in Japan yet, have you?
No. Want to though. Planning on. I'm going to get a big monster truck.
What are you going to drive?
Scooting around. I'm going to run over a load of those lads and lasses doing the Mario Kart thing. I'm going to just absolutely plough them.
Oh, God.
Plough into them.
They're back.
They're back. Have you seen them? Good.
I've seen like tweets and photos about the Mario Kart thing.
Yeah.
And that's, for those who don't know, there's a service called Mario Kart. I don't know if it's called that anymore. Probably not. But you could dress up like a Mario character, ride around in a go-kart, or basically pretend it's Mario Kart, and then crash into things. And famously, a few years ago, they crashed into my favourite fish and chip shop in Roppongi. And ever since then, I've had a vendetta against it. Had it been a burger restaurant, dear listeners, I wouldn't have been so fazed by it. I would have been like, eh. American culture, but British culture, fish and chip shop, the only good fish and chip shop, honestly, met its demise at the hands of a driver. It's not good enough.
No.
They did get rid of it for a time, but they're back now. And just as I said in a video I made 2 months ago about it, there's so many better ways to see Tokyo. You know, hop on a bicycle.
Yeah.
Fucking get a bicycle, get a skateboard, roller skates. Don't get in a go-kart and drive around the world's biggest city. It's a pretty fucking scary place to drive around Tokyo, let alone on a go-kart. When if odds are you might be driving on the wrong side of the road if you're coming from most of the world's countries. Japan drives on the British side of the road, so that will be a first hurdle. And then you're weaving in and out of traffic in Shibuya and Roppongi, and it's just not going to end well. And I don't think it's a good idea. And I can see why Nintendo sued the company, because it didn't look good. It looked almost like it was a Nintendo-endorsed thing, right?
Yeah, so, I wouldn't like to do it. It looks even more fraught with danger than my Fiat 500.
Yeah, that'll be an experience. Pete Dawson giving rides in his Fiat 500. You've never ridden around Tokyo on a bike, though, have you? You haven't done it.
I've scooted around parts of it, I think. I hired one a couple of times and scooted around, but not like the main areas. Because you forget that, like, you can just scoot around on the pavements with a little bike, which really helps. If you're a bit fearful of getting on the road, I mean, it's a great way to see the city, and also you are able to just, you know, cycle around the pavement, which is good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I think it's the best option.
Yeah.
I did see a friend of mine did get hit on his bike the other day, a guy called Josh in Japan. He's a streamer, really nice guy from Australia. He actually crashed into a car.
Oh, lordy.
In Japan, you're allowed to, like, the car was turning basically, and he was coming up behind it. And you're sort of you have to defer to the cyclist as a driver in Japan, right?
Right.
So if you're turning left, you have to let the cycle pass, and then you go. This driver didn't really do that, he just sort of carried on going. And Josh didn't really brake in time, and he smashed into the left hand side of the car,
right.
And I felt really bad for him. The video, he's like filmed it, and you can hear him moaning and crying in pain.
Oh dear!
And then the Japanese driver sort of gets out very slowly, and he's like, "You're right." It's just really ridiculous video. But he got hate online for it. He got some hate online, being like, "Oh my god, Gaijin fucking cyclist, go home."
Yeah,
and it was really. It was really unpleasant.
Always going to be the way, wasn't it? Always going to be the way.
Foreign as well. But the police, the police were like, oh, the driver was in the wrong. Like Josh himself said later on, he provided the video evidence, and the police said, yes, he probably were going a little bit too fast. I think Josh was going 50 kilometres per hour on his bike.
Yeah. Shouldn't have been popping a wheelie.
Exactly. Yeah. But anyway, so he got all right. He's okay. And he's the driver of the car has to pay insurance and stuff.
On his bike. Lovely.
Happy ending there.
Yeah.
Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to BrawnJapanPodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back, guys, later in the week to do it all over again. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on the Brawn Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Ooh.
Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen,
Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more. And join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.